set up, huh?
So, yeah, we put this stuff on so that we have some record of the whole thing, what is it that we are going to say. And, the whole idea here is, just also put the lapel on.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of this meeting is that it's not me who will be talking all the time, so that would be a boring, that would be definitely boring meeting.
So Joel is going to talk.
I'm going to listen.
So actually the reason why we got together is that it's about the time to A, make sure that when Petra leaves us, I'm afraid it may happen, right? I mean, or no, it didn't change your mind yet.
Goodness.
Or your girlfriend didn't
change
her mind. So that whatever he's been doing is not forgotten, and then people can stay on his shoulders, and I hope that he won't get out entirely out of this problem, but still we need to continue on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Joel will be, is my main hope, that he's going to pick up the keyword spotting and some of these ideas. And also the reason why Petra Motlicek is here is that Joel is also getting interested in open models of the temple envelope. And of course, Petra Fosse knows a lot about it, but
both of you know, but
you will be here from different point of view. Petra Motlicek is working mainly on speech coding. And so this is, I guess this is it. So I guess that really you should be talking more than anybody else because you should be asking questions.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
So what is it that you need to know? And
maybe just tell us what you know already about, I don't know, how far you were with this.
Yeah.
Features or?
So basically I started reading about the features that's taking the long temporal and time frame. It's traps.
Yeah.
And tandem approach.
She knows.
Yeah. So then I also started with there was a paper on fitting an AR model to the DCT of a signal. Started with that and slowly getting used to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is DCT?
Yeah.
That's a paper by Dan Ellis.
Oh, that's how it started, basically, because
that
was Mario Sartinellos and Dan Ellis.
Yeah.
They had a paper, I believe it was not ASRU or something, right? It was ASRU. But that was the time when they weren't using very long segments.
Yeah.
It was like 50 milliseconds or something, they were very long time. Yeah, no? So then the story was that Mario's presented that at some meeting, and we realized, oh, that might be a cute thing for estimating spectral energies because that's what we want, and the way we are doing it is, I think it works, but it's a little bit inelegant.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow stupid, so first do the frame based estimate, and then you get stick to 100 hertz sampling, 10 millisecond sampling, or something, and then you just pick up the trajectory. So Marius was here for half a year, maybe, or even more, and started work with Petra. Just came, so they were working a little bit together. Mainly, Marius was programming in MATLAB, and Petra was putting it into.
Yeah, I just rewrote it in C++. I didn't do much on it.
But then we were hoping to pick up on that a little bit more, and we did, right? You did a little bit of work.
Well, we tried many knobs to tune on that because you can decide what compression factor and everything. So I tried a little bit, like pick maybe three knobs and try to go through the 3D cage to see what happens in which kind of settings. So this we did, but.
And we never published that anywhere, right?
We didn't, because there was still a question that I don't remember right now. Because there was some essential question. I don't remember. I would have to look at it. And because before we could write anything, I would have to be sure that something is right there. I couldn't be sure about it at the time, so. And anyway, it takes time, this computation. It's very inefficient. It takes like 100 times more than computing some MFCCs computing these features, because it's a huge DCT, huge FFT everywhere.
We were also doing a silly thing that we were stepping it by 10 milliseconds, right? At the time.
Yeah, there was no optimization. We just stick to the trap. We wanted to make as close to trap as possible, which is silly, but that you have
that
to start somewhere.
Start,
yeah. Then I continued with another papers that you're mentioning, FPTrap. So just moving around with that ideas, and also the main idea today, why it would maybe like if you can list down what all things are there to be taken care of, then one by one, because finally if I find that you have something else, maybe to list down the things other than the what I've already taken from you.
Okay.
And also to discuss.
So, last time we were talking about Gaussians, you have the Gaussians running somehow, like feature extraction,
feature
and
extraction,
then the tandem training also. So the, you're able to train in that now.
So you may be the only one in the whole world now, because Chifang is gone, and Barry is gone. So Morgan was joking.
They're gone from XE?
Nobody from, they are gone from XE. Chifang went to TI, and Barry is at Lawrence Livermore Lab. He basically got a job. He graduated. And he'll be working on things which he cannot talk about. He can't even say it on the microphone here.
Yes?
Yes, classified, perfectly. And so Morgan was only half joking. He was, somebody was asking him, somebody was asking him something. There was Matthew. And he said, well, probably we'll be coming to ask you because nobody really knows anymore at XE. So please take.
Who's the one who is now developing the QuickNet and these things? The MLP4 and things.
Nobody. That was Barry, and now it's closest.
It
actually, Berno is doing a lot of that. Now they picked up the software and they play with this four-layer nets. So it might be that Berno will be soon an ultimate expert on.
Well, still, we have the experts who made the software down here, you know, Olivier Bonnet.
Which software? No,
QuickNet.
QuickNet was done, QuickNet itself was done actually a long time ago at XE.
Olivier make it run on these machines and make the cross the 2G barrier here at IDEA because we couldn't do something, I don't know what, but he is now good in QuickNet.
Okay, so we have to treat him well.
Now I have the feature extraction part where I can get the phoneme posteriors generated through the neural net.
Great.
So then I think
you
I
just miss the backend, which is easy because it's HTK.
Yeah.
It's everyone knows.
Yeah, but HTK through for some other task I have run HTK. So
okay.
I have the general field, but maybe you can take the entire setup from you and run it once online. This thing to have.
Yeah. Okay. And you just need from us to hear. What are the other front ends and other features to choose? I think.
Yeah, basically. So then I can share what I can read down there.
Well, the whole idea then is that then you start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
And you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we do it? should I list it or?
This.
Maybe that might be the.
First is the feature extraction that we have already taken. Then the backend for that. Then
well,
yeah.
Like I distinguish between feature extraction and then the MLP because you feed something to the MLP which are not the waves.
Okay.
So that's what I call it. And then the backend. But okay. Also, what I have here, what I've been working on since I was here, was MFC CPLP, which is always needed for comparison purposes.
Yeah.
Then traps with Warrior's Lens, and also you know traps now.
Yeah, traps I know, but with various?
With Warrior's Lens.
Okay, lens.
We were trying to start from the ultimate lens of one frame up to 1 second or even more, but it was. So this also, then we applied the DCT on the trap itself. Which is something like the Gaussians, applying some filtering basically the trap. So this is mainly Kanta who was doing this. So this is related to traps. I was also trying warping.
Okay.
Means if you have a second which is 101 samples, I was just keeping the central 10 samples, and then I was throwing away some of them, you know, like resampling this 1 second of the trap to something which I preserved all the points in the center and just picked every 10th point at the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
which means the trap 101 trap trajectory shrank to say 15 points,
okay.
with still preserving the maximum resolution at the center and throwing away most of the points near the boundary. So this I was trying. So this I have some results on. So these are traps, then the Gauss traps.
Okay.
Then tandem system.
Okay.
The tandem you plus minus have because that's just the PLPs.
Okay.
And then there is a training with MLP.
Okay.
It's taking some context of these PLP coefficients.
Uh-huh.
So it's like feeding PLPs or MLPs,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, to MLP and taking some context. This is the tandem. So this setup we also have here.
Okay.
I didn't experiment with this, but maybe in some more results, it's Hemant who has the results on tandem, I guess.
Okay.
No?
He used to have before he lost all
that. Yeah, but I think the most important results are already in the thesis he's writing.
Uh-huh.
So it's there somewhere. So this is tandem. Then what? And then there is the FGLP. Then we can talk more about.
Yeah, that's
which I have more experiments on. Also this warping and compressions and all these things.
Right.
So compression basically you are looking at.
Yeah, but I'm using that for a different reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's speech coding, so what is the task is usually just take the speech, of course, somehow to encode it into
yeah.
as small number of bits as possible, and with a reasonable quality, of course, and again to decode it.
Okay.
And I'm using FDLP
mm-hmm.
for that, still playing with more or less 1 second long segments,
mm-hmm.
just dividing the speech into 1 second frames,
okay.
doing DCT,
mm-hmm.
just standard work. Work and then doing some compression and computation.
So subbands, no?
Yeah. But you're doing the same, no?
Well, yeah. But you just didn't talk about.
Yeah, you take the DCT and you just divide it into several subbands, frequency bands, with a different.
And by the way, you don't do the overlap on the subbands, no?
I do.
Yeah, but you don't do the overlap on the tandem, man.
No.
Yeah,
I don't do.
Okay,
so
that's the difference.
For compression, you're basically
yeah, just 1 second without overlapping. But in frequency domain, there is a overlap because you can choose which filters you want,
yeah.
more or less, or just trajectories of those bands. So there is overlapping. I'm using those Gaussian filters or classical, those trapezoidal,
mm-hmm.
like in MSCCs,
mm-hmm.
right? And then processing each. Yeah,
MSCC are triangles.
Okay, triangles, that one. Then I'm doing independent processing of each frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm computing that Hilbert envelope,
okay.
which is just the envelope of some temporal trajectory. And more or less you can divide this into a Hilbert envelope, Hilbert carrier, which is something like LP, a linear prediction envelope,
mm-hmm.
autoregressive model, and excitation signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are two parts or items you need somehow to encode if you
okay.
want again to get original speech
mm-hmm.
or reasonable quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is some compression factor, which is again when you're computing that autoregressive model
mm-hmm.
from FDLP, you can compress the spectrum somehow in such a way that you rather preserve those even also those dips, not only peaks.
Mm-hmm.
The spectrum,
okay.
and it sounds better for some kind of.
So you know about this compression, how it's okay. I just
knows more than I do.
he's new. He's doing most of the things.
So it's kind of logarithm when you use logarithm for MSCCs, right?
Okay.
So it's again compression factor something, and but then you have to uncompress it again,
mm-hmm.
of course, to get back the speech. And there are other things which I'm doing, but it's not related to speech recognition so much.
But certainly when it comes to like the open modeling of temporal trajectories, even the fact that FOSEC is not here, you probably know a lot about it by now.
Well. What?
No, that approximating Hilbert
right,
envelope
right.
by open model.
What?
FDLP.
When
you are not here, the person knows about it.
It's more or less the same approach, right?
Different application,
okay.
different software or something.
So, just in the speech synthesis or coding that you're doing, did you try to play with the notes somewhere?
With
like
what?
The compression, number of bands, and
Number of bands and
what you were playing with and what are the results, like what to use.
You know, that's the problem for speech coding, because I don't have results like in speech recognition.
Yeah, of course
I have to
listen
to
it yourself. I'm fine with them
So now what I'm using are 15 bands, which seems to me 15 frequency bands, which seems to me quite reasonable. We can go down till like 12 and still okay, I would say, but then you start hearing difference. Or also, that's another problem. Once you can go down with frequency bands, then you will have much more complicated that, let's say, excitation signal or that carrier.
If you go down?
Yeah.
If you make broader bands.
Broader bands.
Because
right.
when the band is narrow, the excitation is close, the carrier is close to sinusoid, basically.
So there is more and more frequency components, let's say, or something like that. In one
so you want to say that the LPC is not able to fit it, so that the residual was
no LPC
easy.
Will maybe, but then you have still another part, something like a source and a filter. So when you are doing speech coding, or
you may almost want to use the whiteboard. I mean, and that's why we have it here, right?
Why?
So
can you remove this when you're going to fix this?
I don't know.
No,
it's
not
so.
No,
I mean, it's the same like when you are doing LP synthesis, right? So you got source signal. I don't know source.
I think you have to push it as much as possible because
yeah.
it reacts to the.
And then there is some filter, which is that one divided by AZ. And that's it. And the source can be a noise signal, or it can be some. Sequence of what is that?
Pulses,
right?
This is a standard time domain, right?
Yeah. So it's more or less the same what I'm doing. So this is some envelope, which is in our case related to Hilbert envelope, and this is a source signal, which is Hilbert carrier.
But since you are in a different domain, this is here you are in time domain, right? But
where
you are really in a frequency domain, so the lines turn into signs, right?
Right.
And you
exactly. Yeah.
This is
now going to be
because
frequency.
This spectrum is also line spectrum, right? I mean all components. So if you are in a frequency, your source looks like this.
Yeah. So more or less, if we can plot it. So what we can see is some Hilbert envelope like this, and then there is that Hilbert carrier, or this is not Hilbert carrier, but this is the signal which we get from. One frequency band. So you compute DCT, right? From
this
signal.
Is the subband.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Time signal.
Right.
And what we get from that is this Hilbert envelope, right?
So you know that.
And the second, which should be that carrier, should be something like this. It's just really close to cosine. You might see.
Okay,
if we do it properly, right? And this is what you also have to somehow transmit, or at least try to transmit. In order to get
and this is
I was thinking the residual in LPC fit of the Hilbert envelope, not this. I was not thinking of this at all before. You know.
Right.
That's three things. First, you have to encode this, then the LPC coefficients,
right.
and the residual of the LPC fit.
No, I don't need
like.
LPC. No.
This is later residual for him.
This is a residual for me.
In the for frequency.
The residual?
Yeah, I just want to transmit this signal, right? It's
yeah.
And what you need is this envelope and this one carrier, and you again get the same signal. This shape.
Okay.
Doing IDCT.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem currently is that the carrier is actually not cosine, but
right.
something a little bit more.
For example, for us, if you have a very good music signal, which is very periodic. You can really see something like there's one peak.
And if the frequency doesn't change over the length of the...
It doesn't change. It's related to that frequency of the broadband or
school.
If you have those filters, which are wider and wider, this is that center frequency, which is somehow related to this one.
Okay.
So you can transmit...
So the broader bands do what on this picture?
It's worse and worse. Then you don't see anything like cosine.
Fortunately, because of properties of hearing, more or less, for the higher bands, if you put in just some garbage, some noise, it doesn't really matter all that much. It sounds a little bit worse, but it's not a big tragedy. If you want to do a good voice speech, you want to get the lower bands. And if you put in noise altogether,
everywhere,
it sounds like a whispered speech.
It
so
sounds like
perfect.
LPC when you excited by noise. It's better, I would say. Better quality. Definitely better quality. It's lower betray, but that's a problem.
So now we have to kill them both, because, I mean, we gave all the secrets away.
Yeah.
Any objective measure you use for...
Objective measure was some those distances, spectral distances. Well, it didn't work so properly, so well, I mean.
If Motorola or Nokia gets hold of this tape, then we are in trouble. Hopefully by then it will be protected and everything, right?
Oh, they have already said that we shouldn't talk about confidential things.
But listen, this is a science. I mean, it's a confidential to the extent that we are not publishing it yet. But we of course, will. But we have to make sure that if Qualcomm has an interest of who's funding the work, they have to have a chance to patent it or something. This is not a public presentation,
right.
So this is not even a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The problem would be if nobody can beat Peter Motlicek anymore. I mean, if Nokia knows everything, if you sell it tomorrow, who did you work for? HP, they will take half a year before they will even realize what it is. And by then, so it's no problem. Okay, so that's
okay. So there's a compromise between the lower bands, the worse stuff you just said, and the more bands, the more coefficients to transmit.
Right.
So 15 is about okay.
Yeah. Also, there are papers about that if you have like 12. Frequency bands is somehow optimal.
Okay, so this, and then there is a compression.
Compression is only to relate to somehow fit that Hilbert envelope to
get that.
So that you get, so that you can modulate it.
You can model it better. There is no echo or something like error bands in the signal. If you really go down with that compression factor to like 0.1, something
what?
Compression.
So what is the compression factor we are getting here?
When you compress the effectively the signal which you are modeling,
right?
And so then you get a fit into compressed signal.
Okay.
Essentially, if you were in spectral domain, you would compress the power spectrum.
Yes.
Here you compress the
subband power spectrum.
The city of the signal.
Right.
Right.
And
so plenty of predictor is fitting actually this compressed signal. But you know how much it was compressed, so you can always expand it back, so that you get a fit to the original thing, except that the fit is different, because it basically this Oppo modeling has a different properties.
Yeah, you just preserve something different a bit.
Yeah. So I can tell you a little bit more about it. This is an old technique. Which
I think Hinek has good many papers or some papers know that.
It was my thesis, PhD thesis actually.
Yeah.
It's not a
piece.
STLP was called Spectral Transform Linear Prediction. It was my first ICAS paper ever. It was in 1980s in Boston. You guys were still in kindergarten, right?
Right, more or less.
Oh, it's terrible. But nobody was using it for anything, except it was cute, but that was about it. But now it seems like that is since what we are doing here, we are normal LPC is fitting peaks, right?
Yes.
But when you are modeling Hilbert envelope, you don't necessarily want to fit only peaks.
Yes.
you sometimes want to get a basically good estimate of the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps you, because in this this spectral transform allows you to find the right balance between how well it fits peaks, how well it fits dips, and
right.
So I think that basically, I don't know what else, I mean, you should be asking questions, right?
Yeah.
So
one thing I wanted to know is any a good literature on these
right.
where you started
well,
with.
I think you can already take those papers from Marius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About
that's
at
one
the
about
yeah,
yeah. Oh.
That's really
yeah.
Hard.
I have two.
This is Sapa or how it's called?
Sapa, and then, yeah, this is
then,
yeah, two papers. In, one is in Sapa, one is in InterSpeech.
InterSpeech
in Jeju. And one was in ASRU.
Yes.
It's from Virgin Islands.
What is Sapa?
Sapa was.
I don't know
what I tell you what it stands for. Statistic and something. Perceptual approaches. I was on the. Organizing committee, as you know, but statistic and something approaches, perceptual and statistics and perceptual approaches.
But there are also reports from IDIAP, I think, at least two reports from Marius, seem to me.
But they are the same, right?
Yeah, they are more.
And then also, is there is some more work actually can be traced down? I think that reading Les Atlases papers
mm-hmm.
are very good, because Les Atlases is doing a lot of work on coding
okay.
in this domain. He doesn't use all-pore model, but
mm-hmm.
he uses DCT, and then he and so
yeah.
so. I mean, Les is excellent guy. He's very good very good theoretician.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he's a Stanford the guy, and really he likes to write
right,
things
right.
well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very rigorous,
yeah.
As opposed to me, for instance.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you read that, then you know that there are no errors.
Sometimes it's unreadable.
Yeah, but
quite difficult. But
so whatever you get hands on from Les Atlases for over past 5 years regarding this, 2 years ago or last year on one of the ICASPs, he had like 5 papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
various aspects of this, because
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think this year or not. InterSpeech, there was one paper, but it was regarded to speech recognition
okay.
somehow.
Is that so? I didn't even see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was not something like speech coding or
okay.
that DCT transforms,
mm-hmm.
nothing like that.
Okay.
So.
Also, I can, before Marius left, he had actually left himself, but all the files are here.
Mm-hmm.
And also all the MATLAB implementations of these
okay.
are here, and there is also one big table that he used
to fill in with all kinds of parameters.
Yeah, he was also playing with all these compression factors and lengths of the
mm-hmm.
of that, and there's a big table in,
mm-hmm.
in Excel which you can look
he
at.
He has all kinds of speech recognition results, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it was the first time you started using the cluster, I remember, or some
yeah,
parallel processing. There was a big thing here.
It took a huge amount of time. And he was the first one to realize that these guys are pretty slow to do these things.
Everybody hated him
so
temporarily,
he,
I remember.
He just put here the PMake
yeah.
environment, and he didn't stick to any cluster or anything. He just put PMake and write on all the machines here.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point he was using all the available memory by any mistake, and also in the morning all the machines were just stuck. No one could ever.
Yeah, I remember Frank came to me and says, if everybody was computing like Marius, we would be all dead. And I said, Frank, but I want everybody to compute like Marius.
Right.
So these
yeah.
these results, yeah, because he was doing everything in MATLAB, so it was again 10 times more than
yeah.
C++, and then
maybe yes, maybe no, it's hard to say.
Mm.
No, it's not so bad with it if you really write it well.
But he did, he wrote
and
it
he
well,
did,
but anyway,
so.
Anyway, because
sure.
In the code that I wrote, I was like playing also with if the matrix is sparse, I really don't use it all, I just multiply from here to
right.
here, and
yeah.
matrix,
yeah.
my matrix, and then I just optimized it a bit, and also BLAST libraries
yeah.
and
yeah.
all these things, but okay,
whatever, that's not important.
Well, it is important, you know what I mean. This is something which we never talk about, right? Like how much work.
Oh yeah, sure. It is important
here
for
because
this game,
it's true. It's true is that the things sped up tremendously since I came. I mean, of course, partially because they started to buy some more
yeah.
hardware, but also at least some people basically know how to.
Yeah, but there's the backend recognizer which I will give you, which is turnaround of 18 minutes or well, from 11 to 15 minutes normally it would take.
It used
an
to
hour
be 2 days,
hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not today. It was over 1 hour. It's just like 10 times less, maybe, or 5 to 10 times less. But
mm-hmm.
still, you can 5 times more.
So do you already know what is the situation with you? You go back to Prague for a while, and then did you get anything in France? I got some ideas, by the way.
Great.
Yeah.
I have to talk to you about
right.
these.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't try to anything. I didn't even mail to London. Let's keep it. I just talked to one girl there, which told me that he would be possibly able to find me a job there, any job, like related maybe to field, but job, not anything, any research.
That's
so
if
nothing,
thing,
then
right?
I could be able to get a job.
So you don't die of hunger.
Yeah, probably.
Say,
yeah, but...
Yeah, that's not the idea. We'll try something.
Okay.
So, Jordan, your main... Basically, the thing is, as I told you when we were walking, that whatever pattern did, that it doesn't die,
yeah.
but it carries, and obviously, we very much hope that you get into that and you get excited and you do more and or maybe even different things.
We hope that you find out that everything was wrong and that the potential
that
is
it
much
actually
bigger.
Works.
Yeah, it actually works. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not that it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, but after you find out the bug, it will be.
Yeah.
It will be.
Mm.
Yeah. So we will send you the papers related,
yeah, so
and I will point you to all the code, which
yes.
I have.
Yeah. But regarding the stability.
Yes. And this is
yeah.
all on the record, so if we. If you can hold him to his work.
Yes.
Actually, I can just now tell the locations of all the files and
rewind.
Rewind. Browse through the meeting.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
So. How are we doing time wise? Yeah, I think half hour is fine, right?
Yeah.
Any more things?
You will be here almost until end of.
Yeah, until 24.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Friday.
November.
November.
It
yeah.
breaks my heart. It's just like I will just start teaching and then I'll need an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
It hopefully it makes it pay some extra. So
what are you going to talk or to teach? It's
I
just a perceptual
speech,
stuff.
But it's actually combination of two classes I was giving at OGI,
mm-hmm.
which is like speech processing and perception. Yeah, so I try to put it together so that it makes some sense.
And do you already know how many students you had?
No,
no.
No. I should have at least 4 because this is a graduate. So I have one, right?
Oh, it's
guaranteed.
Graduate.
I have
graduate.
One guaranteed that I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I think Guillermo was
3. I mean, 4 credits or total?
Sorry, I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be 4 credit or not. I don't know how much I like people without not taking it for credit because then they just sit there and having a good time. But it's okay. No, it's okay.
Because in IAC it's 4 credits. Guillermo is taking, I think.
Guillermo is taking, very good. Yeah, so I already have at least 2. I probably get 4.
Well, I would like to go there, but not just for credit, just maybe to hear something new.
It's possible, that's for sure. I mean, that's okay.
And last time it was. For me, it was good, the course, from one special reason, because when there were the floods in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
I lost all my papers from my school, all the exercise books.
Mm-hmm.
how to say this?
The notebooks.
All the notepads and everything. All notes from any courses. So I was remembering what I was learned,
but that's
what I was taught at the time.
So,
so I had it now back, at least partially, because all the algorithms you were speaking about.
I didn't get into too many things actually. You know, the reason was that at the time we thought I was teaching with Hervé, and we thought we have much more time, and suddenly we ran out of time basically, because what happened was that it was supposed to be 3-hour lecture, it was only 2-hour lecture, and Hervé assumed that it's going to run longer, or I don't know what he assumed, but suddenly he said, so where are you? I said, well, I'm just slowly getting into LPC. He said, well, but we have only 3 more lectures, I have to teach HMM and everything, so the LPC part was like I had to do it in 1 hour, and then everybody was totally confused, I guess.
Also in the labs, people didn't know anything about it and they just followed the paper.
When was this?
That was at EGFL. Okay guys, I think that unless somebody has still anything incredibly important.
Not to this.
Yeah, but I can come to.
Right, it's a little bit up to you. You have to bug this, especially Heather, because just to make sure that.
Yeah, well, anyway, after I'm back, I'll be still on Skype and all these things, so
okay.
No problem to contact me until, I don't know, May next year. So
do you think that you will be done by May? Is it planned?
Well, I would like to. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, we made a mistake, I tell you. I think if I had to do it again, we made a mistake. We should have registered you here at EPFL. You would have got a degree by now on EPFL. Yeah, that was a mistake.
I would have to study here for that long time, no?
3 years. You were here. How long you were here? 2 years?
2 years, yeah. I would have to stay one more.
Well,
it would be good reason for that. I have to stay here.
Right.
So is she getting another position there, or what is that?
She has a good position because she's a friend who is starting a lot there. It's a great opportunity for her.
Yeah.
But the problem is that then she will go back and there's a family issues and everything. So girl, it's always the pain because she has to break for some time, at least a little, but. Has to break, and in science it's not that easy.
I know.
To break.
Okay.
So in case I need something on the DLP, I'll come to you.
Oh, sure.
Otherwise, I'm also much more available than I was. I mean, when you came, it was just like one of the craziest times of this year. It's not that I was very productive, that I was doing anything useful, but it's just like it's a little bit like writing thesis all the time, rewriting and make little changes and.
But I think definitely you are the best person here, related to availability of you, because if I want to go to Hervé, I probably call secretary.
He has many more people to take care of. Yeah.
There was no. Every time I came to you, you were available.
Typically, I try to be because you know, I mean, this is also my livelihood, right, students. So I have to make sure that they need to know something. So feel free, basically, to stop by any time. Yeah. It's not that I know everything, but I know. I think I sort of know a little bit like what you guys were doing, but not a little bit.
You know the core, which we don't remember anymore while it's programming.
You don't know why you are doing
it. We know the details, and you know what
Why are you doing this?
Ask my boss.
Okay, I think my mic is falling, so I think we go, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oops, I have to take this open.
Já jsem se na ty puntíky. A ty byl určitě natiskný nějakým způsobem.
No.